Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is the 60th episode of my podcast, and this is a special one about communication. Of course, I had to do something special, and the people behind the scenes are obviously laughing about my communication skills and my obsession with communication. But this episode was something special because it was with a coach, Martin Kuchalik, from the business world, that has hired by companies to improve the internal communication, business communication, you can say. And we talked about the different cultures within the businesses, the communication aspects that are important, empathy, criticism, receiving and giving criticism. We talked a whole lot of different topics that are also related to the sports world that I'm in. And I was trying to connect the two worlds, and I hoped I did a good job. If I did, please give me a thumbs up. Please share this episode, comment on this episode, and subscribe to this channel, subscribe to this audio and video version. And yeah, I hope to see you soon again. Thanks for being here. Bye. All right, Martin, welcome to my podcast world.
Hello, hello, Bennett. Nice to be here.
So we met on the plane. I was watching basketball. You were watching me watching basketball. And then you approached me kindly. Because you thought I was doing more besides just watching. But for the people who are tuning in, who is Martin Kuchalik?
Yeah, thanks for the introduction. Definitely this kind of how we met is it's magic. Yeah, and because also basketball is something is part of my history. I used to play basketball for 20 years, and then I see how you are moving the videos, like really going deep into some game. So this made me just to ask you, like, who are you? What are you doing? So
yeah,
this is how we connect. But thank you. So my name is Martin Kuchalik. I'm from Slovakia. I'm currently a business coach, consultant, mentor in some cases. Really depends on the task I have. My history, my past is kind of diverse. So I started to work in the corporation Henkel for 20 years or 17 years, actually, almost 20 years. I worked on the several positions, starting from sales, marketing, up to general manager of the country clusters like Ukraine. Also, I used to work in Russia, but also in Romania, responsible for the entire business there. So I actively was moving through the seven countries in the Eastern Europe, which was a big fun. And I have this great opportunity to meet a lot of people, cultures, such a diversity. So this is my past. And then COVID came and I started to realize I would like to develop maybe other brands than just corporational brands. But I'm really appreciative for this experience. But now I'm working more on myself. I run my own company and I'm helping different kind of companies with variety of things.
So we will dig into that, but what people who are tuning in, why would they continue to listen? Why should they listen, and what would they get out of this conversation?
Oh, you mean the companies?
No, the people who are tuning into this podcast, why would they continue to listen to this podcast?
That's a good question, of course.
Yeah.
Which is like me. You know what? Because I bring myself to this conversation, and I truly believe that that the essence who we carry with ourselves is the reason what we want to deliver to the audience. And I'm very much working with the word of communication. You can hear it everywhere. It's word like love. It's word like I don't know, respect. But what does it mean, communication? And when it's done with empathy, when it's done naturally, then it is a game changer in the sport, in the business. So I think this is what connects us also in this podcast.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to try to connect, because I think this is the first time I'm doing something like that. So, and because everybody knows that communication, I'm nerdy when it comes to that, and I tend to overthink, but also I think this it's a very intriguing, it's a multi-layered topic that a lot of people underestimate, the which words they choose, which kind of tone they choose, how what kind of body language they choose when they subconsciously choose the body language when they communicate. And I think all those little things can be related also in the business world. And I'm hoping to get some insights from you from the business world that we can apply to the sports world within the coaching room, within the locker room of the players, within the dynamics with amongst the staff and the players. So just to get back on your end of the deal, why do companies hire you? What problematic are you most commonly facing?
Yeah. Most commonly, I'm hired to help the companies to unlock the potential of the people, unlock the potential of the employees, because these companies understand that figures are just figures, but beyond the figures, there are people delivering them. And if they are not feeling well listened with the good techniques, they can never perform. So it starts with unlocking their potential, focusing on their strengths, rather than digging into their weaknesses constantly. Mm-hmm. So it's about unlocking the potential of the key players of the team. Then I help companies to find their common language. It is about the communication. Sometimes you think the CEO is understood or the employees are understood, but there are different ways of understanding. So what I basically do, I do the vertical coaching when I speak to the CEO, to the top management, and also to the middle management, trying to connect them with their vision. So it's kind of vertically I work in this. And then they hire me because of the experience from the corporate world, solving the crisis situation with the clients, with the suppliers. So this is kind of hard skills game, negotiations. Mm-hmm. But first two are maybe what connects us today is the way we treat the people, way we communicate with them, way we help them to be in their prime zone, you know, to be mm-hmm. in their strength.
So what's the most common disconnect between the leadership and the middle tier management? Where do you find the biggest disconnect? That's the best word probably.
Yeah. Good question. It starts with listening. So communication sounds weird, but it starts with active listening. I call it third level of listening. When you don't understand your people, you don't understand the business. And this is Simon Sinek quote I like very much, and I truly resonate with this. So it's about less of speaking, but more listening. But listening not to process the information you get, or to solve the problem now effectively, but it's kind of watching you, your mimic, where you put your voice attention to some special word, and then to ask, what does this word mean for you? Okay, where's the issue? How we can support you? So it's very empathic, authentic way of listening the another human being. So it starts with listening, definitely, and then this is kind of breaking a little bit or making this connection when we perform, when we want to make the task, find a solution now, and we kind of need to slow down.
Yeah, that's listening, and because I read some quotes a lot of times on Instagram also, but it's communication is not necessarily only understanding, but comprehension is important. You have to really Absolutely. Feel and understand where the person is coming from to know the intent of the message that the person is trying to send.
Yeah, you now hit the nail. It's I did few coaching certificates, or I'm certified coach in Ericsson coaching, but also in the systemic leadership. This is very powerful way of looking on the field, basketball field, whatever kind of system, business system, where you look on the system and the players with their kind of backpack, what they are carrying with them, where they come from, as you said, what they were facing in the past, what is unspoken rule, what is kind of hidden dynamics, not only what is on the surface. Mm-hmm. Through this listening and asking the open questions, you are just acknowledging who is in front of you first, and then you start to search for the way forward, sometimes very slowly, because... So exactly, it's like you mentioned.
How important is in those situations when you're trying to communicate and you're trying to comprehend, you're trying to understand the other person, and we're going to get to the cultural part, because there's a lot of different cultures also within the basketball teams. But how important it is to be vulnerable and to open up to the other person, even though there is a difference in hierarchy. I mean, there's a difference in titles. And some people are afraid to be vulnerable. Some people are afraid to open up because they are afraid of how they're going to look against, you know, in front of their boss, if they're going to look weak or not. And is, I look at it as a strength, but I'm wondering of how it is perceived within the corporations.
You asked the question like we would have aligned, but we didn't align. Very, very good question. On you used the word vulnerability, absolutely key. Today's leadership, today's leaders are not meant to know everything and to guide you everywhere, to lead you, to manage you. It's more to be who you are, yes, to be the guide for the team, navigate them, but also sometimes through not knowing. And this is vulnerability when it comes. So guys, team, I don't know what to do now. So then you are inclusive, bringing them up to the same table and starting to go, what do we do together? It's a very challenging situation. So this is absolutely important, and it's showing just who you are. And then second is transparency. Yeah, so these two words I would highlight when it comes to nowadays way of treating leadership. So to be transparent, to show also what you are facing, to show the figures, show the statistics, everything, just to be transparent, not to hide.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to stay within the coach's locker room and imagine myself communicating amongst the staff, because there's a lot of discussions within the staff a lot of times, and they get heated. They get heated also, because you also you have to come out of the locker room being on the same page and presenting it to the team, backing each other, you know, and that's when the discussions also get emotional, and you have to stand up what you believe in. Because a lot of times back when I started, it was a lot of times very naively I was presenting something without having enough backup, you know, having enough arguments to back up my opinion. Then with time you get stronger with your opinion, but then also you cannot back down because the coach, the leadership in this sense, if you were trying to relate to the business world, is going to challenge you constantly. It's going to try to see if they can wiggle a little bit of your chair, you know, if you're going to fall or not. And that's when a lot of times there has to be a sense of security on a leadership part, not to be afraid to be challenged also, because a lot of times there is some insecurity on the top, because they, when somebody below you, assistant coaches or scouts, if they challenge your opinion, a lot of times I've seen the leadership, the coaches trying to negate the bottom part of the staff, because it challenges their opinion too much and they feel threatened in their position. You know what I mean? There's ambitions also within the coaching staff, healthy ambitions, but there's also some that I've heard in the past that also are trying to be head coaches at some point. And then the head coach in that position has to be very secure in his position, his leadership, that the opinions of his assistants matter, and they are there to help him as well as the team to raise up their game a little bit. So do you experience also in the corporate world that their leadership has some insecurities and they have to deal with the constant challenge amongst each other?
Yeah, well, I would say one thing is the crucial is alignment in that case. So the leadership is aligned what they are conveying to the team. Sometimes the head coach might say one, assistant might feel something else, whoever else. So then they are not like a team, and the players just feels there is inconsistency, there is not compatibility of the leadership. So this is just one alignment. Then you said very nice thing, you are never prepared 100%. So it's not good to blame yourself that you didn't communicate well in that moment. You did maximum what you could do in that moment. Often we put the labels on ourselves, not good enough. I didn't manage enough. No, it's a waste of energy. So from that moment on, I can focus on the next speech, realizing, okay, these are some potentials, good. I don't put myself down. So this is how it works as well. And the second and the third one is kind of, I call it adversity, or let's say resilience. We are not in ideal world of great communicators around us. Yeah? So this is definitely not the case. So that's why we need to have kind of personal resilience as a players, as employees, to face the challenges from some moment that there is a speech from the leadership, speech from the coaches, we didn't make well. But the key thing is that you accept it, you don't take it always personal. And what we have learned from this for the next day, Monday starts, what do I do differently? Maybe nothing. So understanding also their pressure, their position, and not to imprint on us the fault always, even if I screw up the game, it happens. Yeah, so it's about the personal resilience in that moment.
And is it normal to also show emotions in the corporate world?
Well, that is a very good question. I've read so many articles now. I'm really now into it. So some people says emotions is just kind of lack of intellectual capacity. You shouldn't show the emotions at the working place. I partially relate to the part of it. Say, yeah, it's not useful, especially to show emotions on the platform like a common meetings. Like
we should say negative emotions, probably
negative,
just to be
emotions,
precise.
Toxicity.
Yeah.
But yeah, we are human beings on the other hand. We are emotional. How can I stop my emotion? No one teaches me in this school how to do that. I don't have a button here. So then it's how we approach the emotions, how we manage them in that moment when it comes to us. What I can do with myself about this resilience again. And then how I will transfer them into some reasonable speech, one-on-one, and so on, with the peers, with the boss. So we are emotions, yeah. But then how we treat, so this is also things which I deal a lot in my daily situations.
I think they have to be sincere. If they're sincere and honest, they come from a good place, and they are really with a good intent, then it's okay. Because afterward, as long as you don't take it personal, as long as the air is cleared afterwards and there's no personal agenda or no personal attack within that, I think it's okay. It's just because it's a professional setting. So you can call it maybe professional emotions in some sense, but they have to be sincere. And I see it a lot of times because I see both worlds in terms of Europe versus the US. US is very businesslike and more stoic and very thought through and professional in all sense, with some humor here, with some maybe firmness, but never overwhelming emotions. And in Europe, you see impulsiveness. You see the opposite of business. Like it's more of an emotional, impulsive expression of your thoughts because you're trying to come to a solution as soon as possible. And that happens, you know, you see both on both sides. You're going to see some of that in the US. You're going to see some of the business approach in Europe as well. Mm-hmm. Just on the grand theme of things, if you compare the two worlds, it is different, and it is more anxiety based in Europe, and in the US it's more business based and more professional in a sense, if you want to put it that way. So and I've learned also there's no one truth. I mean, it can be done both ways. It just has to be in a very the rules have to be set on both sides, that we are here going on the same line with the same intent, and we're trying to get to the solution as soon as possible.
Yeah. Well, definitely it's cultural. When I was in a few countries, just simply people would not understand the feedback if I'm not direct, if I don't a little bit sometimes raise the voice, or I'm very like to the point. In some other cultures, you have to be very cautious, very careful what you say and how you say and in which platform. But when we a little generalize and put it under some one roof, so I would split it into two sections. One is how to be honest. I was honest. I told him the truth. Yeah, but you destroyed him for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So he's not speaking now. His self-confidence is like down. So I split it into two ways, like brutal honesty. This is what I explained. You are honest, but you're brutally honest. Yes, you crashed the wall. You maybe hit his pain point. Maybe he will perform 1-2 games. Or he will perform maybe 1-2 weeks at work, but then again back. So, and the second is honesty with empathy. Yeah, and this is really the difference. You can be the direct, but it's also how to give it feedback. So our state of mind, our brain understands just two states. One is danger, one is safety. Nothing else. So either you are in the safe situation or you are in danger. When you are in danger, you don't absorb anything. Your creativity goes down. You cannot respond. You go to defensive mode. At working place as well. So how to prevent it is to give a proper feedback, sometimes planned feedback, sometimes to warm the, I would like to give you feedback, not right away when you are in the emotions. You prepare yourself, you go there. It's a different thing. So it's about the feedback as well.
And it's the feedback is different from person to person. I can imagine that, you know, there's personalities, there's a wide spectrum of personalities as well as in the corporate world, as well as in the sports world. So I'm sure that it takes a while also for the leadership to recognize of how each person needs to be approached and how the feedback needs to be given. The person in front of everybody, in the soft voice, in the hard voice. And that's the juggle of that's the small print of coaching, usually. Like that's the soft skills that the coach has to have in order to get the most out of each player.
You know, hurt people hurts. So when
hurt people hurt people, yep.
Yeah, when you didn't see the different approach, what you do, you just put the same approach to your team members, to your team, just simply nothing to blame. This is where we come from. But when I can tell you, what is more useful definitely is what you are describing now. So should I speak in the name of the team now? It's perfectly to criticize. Of course, when you lose the game or when you don't make your targets in the company, you have to be critical. But it's more on a general level and in a way, it's like a hamburger style. So you speak in the beginning, like, yeah, guys, we had these goals, like motivation a little bit. Then, yeah, we screw up. We didn't make the plans. Yeah, this is the reason. I mean, we'll not get the targets. We'll not get the bonuses. And then what are we going to do now? So you are not personal. And you know, one failure more, one less. So it's like a kind of positive, negative, positive hamburger style. And then just simply go one-on-one if you need to continue, but not in front of everyone, because then I don't guarantee of the self-confidence of that guy who you put down in front of the team.
Yeah, you may lose a person in the process, and some people some are willing to sacrifice that one person for the result of the company. But on a team, on a small team like a basketball team, where 12 players on a roster, and sometimes 15 that are just coming in and out, it can be costly, because sometimes that person can also be affecting the locker room in a negative way after that. So you really sometimes you hurt the wrong person. And that can hurt you in the long run on the compounding effect. And the saying, hurt people is one of my, Joe Rogan, I listen to Joe Rogan, a lot of people know that. And he says that constantly. And in Eastern Europe, it's more prevalent where hurt people, and they don't know any other way except besides being aggressive, because that's how they were raised. That's how they were coached. And they're hyper emotional, and they are hurting the next. And in a sense, there's a fine line too. I kind of understand where, we don't want snowflakes either, especially in the professional sports. Oh my God, what is this? I'm getting
celebration
fireworks. Okay, all right.
We are on fire now.
We are on fire. Yeah. We don't want snowflakes in our line of work either. So you kind of want to push them to the next level, but also to the limit where you don't want to completely destroy. And some coaches have to approach. They want to destroy and keep the team down and then raise them up at the right time. But there's a fine line, and you're playing with fire. And I feel like that the individual conversations can be a lot more fruitful if you have a common understanding of where they're coming from, how they were raised, how to hit the sweet spot for that person.
Yeah, well, depends really on personality for what you want to be remembered. I had several bosses, like 8 of them. On some of them, they were criticizing, but you don't even realize. You feel like encouraged. You are going out of their office and you feel like, well, this was not easy, but I know what I'm going to do. You feel like, you know, full of energy.
Yeah.
And some similar types with different coaches, you just go out like nobody. And they also pushed you. Now I have to, but you act because of the fear, not because of encouragement. And yeah, again, for the short time delivery of the plans, of the results, fine, both ways can work. But the long sustainable way is definitely different style. This is who I am. This is what my essence is. And I would love to be remembered more as a leader for constant, constant way of treating the people, but not like, you know, ups and downs, playing the games, being rough and being silent. And
So your relationship go a long way, and it's something that I think at the end of the day, the more experienced people, they will respect the way you treated them and the way you approach them. And maybe in that matter, it's very impulsive because it needs to be resolved right here, right now. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it also needs to be cleared up and to be understood. And most of the players, they understand. It's just that if there's repetitive pounding, it can destroy a person, and you're just going to lose maybe a valuable player down the line. It's role player.
Yeah. Yeah, and we go back now, what you said, to vulnerability. Sometimes you can be emotional, even as a boss, as a leader. You might be even sometimes personal, but then depends what you do with this. Mm-hmm. So you might little slow down, calm down. Then you can come back to the player, to the team, say, sorry, this was really, I was under emotions. Yeah, so much better than just rolling over constantly. And but about the coaches and the leaders, the key prerequisites how to build that communication, motivational communication, is really trying to stay on the problem, not in the problem. When you are in the problem, you are under emotion. You just don't see the plate. You just don't see the table like here, because you are so much involved in the... But when you are a little bit on the problem, a little bit like out of the case, business case, whatever, sports case, you might see it differently. Mm-hmm. So this is very important, like staying on the problem, than rather be in the deep emotions, then you are not going to solve it.
More of a helicopter view.
In a helicopter, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how do you approach a hard conversation if you have a helicopter view and you see that there's a underlying issue and you need to have a conversation? How do you approach a hard conversation with that person?
So it really depends when you need to deliver the feedback right now, or you can plan it. So there are like this immediate feedbacks. Sometimes you just can't escape. You can't plan it. You just need to deliver the feedback now. Also, the game finished. You just need to address the topic. Yeah. So then it's absolutely, first thing is to be authentic who you are. You are just who you are. You choose your words. You look at the person, and you are, if you can, you start with positives. What he accomplished, what he managed to do well. And then you said, these are your clear zone of improvements. Do you need some resources? What is resource? A boss can be resource, a data, salary, family for this person can be resource, friends. Yeah, we have resources, but sometimes when we are in the problem, we don't see them. So sometimes a good leader are just opening little eyes of that person, saying, this can be your resources. Do you accepting them? Do you use them? So reminding that he's not alone in that. But yeah, mm-hmm. you have to deliver sometimes not good feedback. But it's very complex. It really depends on the situation, to be honest.
Yeah, it's hard to pinpoint one certain standard for all of that. But do you look for what body language cues do you look for? Is there certain things that you look for? Eyes, shoulders, anything that could stand out for people to communicate?
Yeah, good question. Definitely, I don't look like, I just feel if we are already in the time where we can speak, or the person needs more time a little bit to melt the eyes, to speak a little bit, not to be in the position like I'm closed, or to have a threat in her eyes. This is not how the exchange gonna happen. So, and then I look, of course, on the reaction of the person during the speech. And when there is anything what is like disconnection, you just go a little bit deeper and try to understand what that means for him, for her. So yeah, it's from the experience, but definitely I would look on the non-verbal communication sometimes, and verbally as well.
Do you push the team members, whether it's the staff in the media management or the leadership staff, to mix with the media with the mid-level management staff, to get to know each other on a personal basis with dinners, with lunches? Or is that something that you just kind of want them to mingle a little bit to get to know each other's past, or casually, or with a dinner lunch approach?
In that world, in that job, what I do, at least I live purely on themselves. How they will connect to each other, I just let them build a relationship. But it's of course important to know each other better than just the business role. What I mostly do is I open the mindset of the people when they start to say company should do this, boss didn't act like he should. You know, I try to open their eyes at why he responds like this. What can be his point of view? Why was that? And the same vice versa. When I speak to the CEOs, let's say, yeah, but the staff is like that. Yeah, maybe it was not communicated properly. So through just opening the lenses of both sides, you just put them close. They just go closer to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Simply, there is acknowledgement. So this is how I work. So they speak the same language, basically. Then they don't offend each other. They don't misunderstand each other because they understand it's just not easy.
Yeah, but it sounds like the most common denominator amongst the two parties, let's say,
yeah,
is empathy and reflection. Is that more like you have to, both parties have to be able to understand and feel each other's truth, you know, to kind of understand where they're coming from, reflect, and then that you have to find a third truth that kind of fits both narratives?
It starts with this, definitely. Definitely. But then it's about the moment when the both parties starting saying, like, guys, okay, this happened. What we're going to do next together? It's all about cooperation, nothing else. If we should remember today's two words, this is communication, but it's also cooperation. How do we cooperate together to achieve the same goal? Not who is more guilty, no who should say what. It is just, these are limiting beliefs of people. Saying the company should do this, company should do this, boss didn't react in a good way. We are a little bit, you know, this is not useful to look at that direction. What you can do in your zone of influence today, that's the key, to be present and to say what I can do, where is my zone of influence? And this, I try to open up, this is your zone, yeah?
We should call this podcast Communication and Cooperation.
Probably, yeah.
Those seem to be two key words. When we talk about the different cultures within the team culture or within the corporation, within the company, what experiences you have in terms of differences and troubled communication amongst different cultures? What did you have? What was the most common misconception amongst different cultures?
I call this point like a pea soup mystery. So you can come to, I don't know, Romania. I work there. You can say, I love pea soup. And they say, all right, good. I will cook pea soup. They love cooking. I will cook the pea soup for you. And they cook the pea soup with the, I don't know, sausages, potatoes. Of course, pea is there. Whatever is in the kitchen, for example. For me, the pea soup might be, I don't know, creamy soup with nothing, all, you know, put together, different kind of soup, but it all stands of the pea soup. So it's about understanding what's beyond, what the pea soup means for you.
Mm-hmm.
How would you like to have it? It's much deeper than just saying the words. It's about, again, asking opening questions. This is only how you can understand the culture going a bit deeper.
Can you give an example?
Sorry?
Can you give an example of an open question?
Yeah. What do you understand behind the pea soup? What is your why you like that soup? Yeah. How we can make together a better pea soup? When do you expect to have a pea soup ready? Why you are constantly repeating pea soup? So it's about the questions where you cannot answer with yes or no, but you provoke, in a good sense, the brain to think. And then you get a lot of information from the person opposite to you.
Okay, so you, I also noticed, or I read a little bit about you and about your profile, and there was also mentioned confidence. How do you how do you level up somebody's confidence? How do you help a team member's confidence go beyond if they are in a slump, for example, or if they're going into a shell? What conversations do you have the top management have with their inferiors or with their workers to up their confidence? Or how do you personally help their confidence to get better?
That's a very good question, very wide question. Really depends on the case, but if I try to be more narrow, I many times remind them what they did well, even though we have a bad day. All right, fine, let's face it, we have a bad day, we have emotions, so, but we managed to accomplish this already so many times, guys. So you are the experts in the field you work. You are the best offense players. You can shoot the freeze. Today didn't manage, but how many times you managed? So you open up a little perspective on the bigger scale. Yeah. So yes, you can. Yeah. So then I so much concentrate on the strengths. So this is the second thing. So the principle of 80-20. So 80% of time, energy we spend on strengthening the strength of the player. We can't make the offense player the best defensive player. But yeah, in a football, they need to kick the penalty. So of course, you also need to, you know, to practice with the defense players. Well, techniques, kicking techniques, but you will not make from him. So you focus on defense techniques with defense player. So but of course, in the business, sometimes you need to improve the presentation skills, or you need to the planning, or you need just to work on something with, but on 20% of the energy. Mostly, you want to be better in what you are already good, because this usually you like to do. When you are good at something, you are probably also liking it. So why I should now work against myself? I will not be the haircut. So I'll not develop this skill anymore. I will work on my coaching skills. I will work on my, I don't know, leadership skills. So these two things came to my mind. So acknowledging the bigger scope, yes, you can. Yeah, try to overcome today's adversity and working on the strengths.
Yeah, there's within cultures, and this is one book that I wanted to also mention, that my friend Rafael from the Denver Nuggets, shout out to Rafael, he gave it this to me, it's Culture Map, it's called. It's this yellow book, and I think we talked about it too on the plane. It's how different cultures and specifically perceive or give criticism to each other. And then you have a misinterpretation of the pea soup, you know, and then you have to somehow find and interpret, what does it mean? What's there between the lines for me to extract and take upon myself? And sometimes if the person is not really fluent with different cultures, with different languages, not necessarily different languages, if you are English speaking and it's enough if you just learned English and you still are understanding English on a different level, let's call it a little bit upper echelon English, you should be able to extract the information that's necessary from a different culture, because there's high context and low context cultures, which the book describes. And low context is more direct. High context is a little bit more vague. And the criticism is not easily taken. You know, it's like sometimes in the US, it's also, oh, maybe we should be doing this in this part a little bit better. And that means like you should get on top of that and do it right now. And yeah. In Japan also, they will never tell directly to you that you did something wrong. It's going to be more of a reluctant speech. You know, it's going to be more extracting themselves away from the topic in order not to make the other person uneasy or uncomfortable. So did you face any of this misconception of criticism within companies that they had trouble sending a message up or sending a message down to each other to understand each other's problem just because there was a cultural difference?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I even experienced in my last assignment in one startup in Netherlands, there were 20 people and 11 nationalities. So imagine through Dutch people to Americans, English, Turkey, Italy, such a mixture. This was one of my really very exciting assignment. I helped them to build actually kind of culture and help them to communicate between each other. But there you are very cautious with what you say. You just don't judge too fast because you don't know how do people react. It's like to be in the international school and suddenly all the parents gather together and you just look, I mean, this is Italian. So you are like careful what you say because...
Yeah.
So sometimes it's to be sensitive enough and observe what's going on. I call it printer strategy. So when you come first to the company, first day, and there is people, different nationalities, you come and you watch how they go to the printer machine, like a printer machine. This means you walk, how they go, what they speak, how they behave, how they raise the topics, how they go to the boss. And just through watching them, observing, you are learning like a sponge how to approach them. But this is second stage. But you are very sensitive in that sense. And it's great that you brought this because it's already meant to you that you see the problem. Only when we see the problem, we can solve it. Many people don't even see this cultural difference. They just go Italian way, Eastern Europe way.
I mean, so. But how do you deal with a person that is not capable of perceiving that? Because that can also obstruct the whole process and they are just... Not necessarily that they don't want it; they just can't, you know, because they don't have the capacity maybe for that.
You're right. So in some cases, but this is my last stage. You just can't do anything. These are kind of people who don't want to do the things differently. They don't perceive it as important. You can't help themselves because they don't want to help themselves. It's the way how it is. So not everybody can be coached. Yeah. But I love the cases like that, and I treat them through opening the lenses again, having the conversation, showing them my own experience. This is what I experienced. This is how the culture reacts. What if question? What if he didn't understood? What if was feel offensive? Mm-hmm. It's not that you are bad. They just perceive it differently. And if you try two times with that person, and he doesn't get it, that means probably I need to make others aware that this is how John reacts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So either one side you fix or another make aware that this is John's reaction. John is, I don't know, like a color, whatever, orange. He cannot be blue, just his orange profile. it's really, no, it's not his game, but it's a game with empathy and... not be judgmental.
Just yeah,
the way we are bright.
Yeah, this is the most intriguing part, and we're nerding out here, and I'm sure people are laughing about us here at some point talking about this communication aspect this deeply, because a lot of people are also just you know, they don't overthink it, but in some regards you have to. There's a line also there's of overthinking or interpreting and understanding of which dynamics are actually important, you know, and picking up on the cues, picking up on the little things that are, okay, he's not going to understand if I'm going to talk or express myself this way. What is he trying to say by not saying something? You know, and those little things sometimes are a lot. It's a lot of information for me to perceive and go through the day and understand of how to communicate properly and effectively.
Yeah, I remember our discussion in the plane, and we discussed the overthinking. Well, it's better that we think that we don't think at all. What is overthinking when it's dangerous, when we are only here in the brain, constantly evaluating, re-evaluating, what if I have done it this way, what would maybe come? No, you did it like you did. Another case, another situation, and you observe yours, but don't try to be too smart. What if? What is, again, more important sometimes is to feel. So not to put your inner emotions under the brain. I mean, when you have a bad feeling, gut feeling about the something, pay attention to it. Yeah, give it the same importance sometimes that we are try to be clever, smart. We try to somehow put in the backstage our gut feeling. And this is very important to pay attention how you feel the person, how you feel the situation. And then to connect with brain, because brain connects us to the past. It can only analyze what happened till now and try to assist us, while gut feeling is feeling in front, kind of what I can do, what which you don't even understand yet. So they need to be kind of in balance, what I try to say.
Yeah. But this is the overthinking part, is the gut. Like, because the gut is going to play games with your mind, and then your mind is going to be influenced by that, and then it's going to start rambling off all the scenarios that could happen, because your gut is kind of throwing a wrench in the whole system.
Just and to equalize them a little bit.
So how often do you have to deal with manipulation and bad incentives within a culture, within a corporation?
Oh, manipulation, this is daily. This is a part of...
Undermining also?
Yeah, there are different kinds of manipulation. When you don't want to go against the people, just you need to have a fast result, for example. And you kind of manipulate, you kind of put the person where you want to have the person. I'm not saying it's good or bad, just simply it happens. And this is a kind of better way. But when it's constantly kind of in between the lines, lying to the person, or knowing that you have different intention, but you need to manipulate the person to your intention, so then it's then this is difficult. And subconsciously, people we feel. Yeah? So even brain might understand. Wow, cool! But somehow there you understand that this is the trap. Mm-hmm. And you don't understand them why in 1 week you just don't want to speak to that person. Yeah, because subconsciously you feel that he want to trick you out. So it is here, of course. You can't avoid fully, but I am for authentic approach and to be a little honest. But one thing, to be honest and transparent doesn't mean you have to say everything. This is key. You don't need to say everything, but what you say, just meant it like this, or speak the truth, or don't create the illusions. This is what you want to deliver. But you don't need to say everything to everyone. This is a different thing.
Because, I mean, there is within the staff, sometimes you can experience some patronization. You know, there is some sort of thing where you feel there is a subtle attack on your authority. And you kind of if you address it, you're gonna even look more like a victim. If you don't, you know, and then so how do you do it? Do you address it, or do you leave it hanging and just smile about it?
No. It's I would be totally on the problem when I smile. Yeah. So of course you are sometimes feel attacked. But there are basically two ways. One is You just listen, and you need to defend a little bit the facts which you did. So, for example, this presentation or negotiation didn't go well. Seems you didn't prepare well. No, that's not true. Look what I have done. Look what how it was done. Look with whom I cooperate from different departments. So we were a little opening the eyes of the leaders saying, no, this was not the main reason. I really did my best. But second thing is when you start to really defend ourselves. No, but it was fault, isn't delivered. Leader don't want to listen to that. It's just better to shut up, to listen to feedback, be grounded, centered, try to say I'm not perfect. Well, this is what I've done. All right, where I can focus on next time. Just like water on you. And I splash the water, something stays on yourself. Yeah, you try to fix it, but not everything, because you would be destroyed after so many negative feedbacks. But you're right. Victim mode is very, I call it like put the pacifier out of your mouth. Just don't try it. Don't be victim. No, it doesn't help.
So there's one thing I wanted to close with before we go into the ATOs that I always do at the end of my podcast. I ask quick questions and you're going to answer them, you know, with the first thing that comes to your mind. But then I wanted also get your opinion, because this is relatable to this patronization or manipulation between colleagues. Because there's the, you know, for sure, the five axioms of Paul Watzlawick, of communication. One of them is my favorite one. One cannot not communicate. You know, anything you do also on the first encounter, you already are communicating something. And there is the second one that the example is based on is every communication has a content and a relationship aspect. So the example I'm going to read throughout to you. In a conversation between the managing director who chairs the steering committee and the project manager, it is clear that the lower-ranking project manager will speak more politely and perhaps more formally to the higher-ranking managing director than the colleague on the same hierarchical level. But even if the signs of communication are more difficult to interpret, the way in which the factual content is conveyed allows conclusions to be drawn about the emotional state, the reaction, the expression. Mm-hmm. Therefore, in any communication, the content and relationship aspect go together and are always relevant. So in terms of the relationship between the two and the content that's being portrayed, the emotional factor is very important to be on a respectful level and not to be downward expressed to the one that everybody knows he's below you anyway. So I think that there has to be respectful communication in both directions.
Yes, for sure. Respect is key. Absolutely. But then I would like to highlight the word content. Many times we start to comment really emotionally the things which are not related to content. But when we speak about the content, this puts us on the same level, no matter who you are, boss, player, coach. You speak like one-on-one based on what we should achieve, what was not done well. Yeah, and then all about is just not important, but less important. So content first, speak based on the facts and add some emotions. And why not, but just simply manage them. This would be my...
Very good. Yeah, managing. Yeah. So you ready to manage my ATOs? The quick.
No, I'm not sure. Let's go with the flow. Whatever it is.
All right. This is the quick bullet point Q&As.
Okay.
What is something you learned late, what you wish you learned early in your career?
I'm going back to this vulnerability. You don't need to know everything as a boss. Yeah.
What did you believe was absolutely true 20 years ago and change your mind on over the course of your career?
Ooh. Change my mind, right? That's a very hard question. I don't know. Probably, I'm not even spontaneously saying now what it can be. We need to meet again in the plane.
Okay.
I would come up with the answer.
Okay. All right.
20 years ago, so long time ago, I was all right. Basketball.
Most underrated question to ask somebody and why?
Probably why you failed again. Yeah, focusing on what's wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like going deep down in the negatives while not speaking, we are here for you. Let's fix this together based on cooperation.
One communication skill you wish you was better at and why?
Starting with why. Why not go immediately to the task to we need to do it, let's go, this basketball, this sport style, but starting more why it's important, what it will bring us, and then go to the solutions. This I developed over the time.
This was also, I have to add, is one of the biggest things I've learned from Coach Messina was why do we do this? What does it do? Why does it help us?
Yeah, this helps you to bring the people on board, basically, to be in one.
What do you reflect on the most on a daily basis?
What do I reflect the most on a daily
basis? What do you reflect on? What's something that you feel like it's important to reflect on?
What comes to my mind is what I did well today. We are pushed now. What's now? Information flow, millions emails, requests. Now everything is faster. And we say, we don't manage. I don't manage my time. I don't have time. I cannot prioritize myself. But sure, in that day are the situations which you manage very well. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just need to highlight them on the paper or tell to yourself in the mirror, come on, Benes, I'm so proud of yourself. I mean, you accomplished these five things. You made this person happy. You managed to communicate this hard situation well. It's not for granted. Yeah. So to focusing on what you did well instead of saying, oh, where I failed. So to reflect on your good things.
On your successes.
Mm-hmm. On the successes, yeah.
Anything that comes to mind that people can use as a tool to improve their communication? Any literature, any book, any websites, blogs, vlogs, that you think that are important for people to check in and to educate themselves?
I will be now very egoistic. They should look at our podcast and they should really listen carefully what we are discussing and choose 2-3 things which resonate with them. And put them into practice and then say, okay, well, bullshit didn't work for me, or this worked for me. This works with any book, any training, any inspirational video. But try it. Try empathy. Try listening. Try listening more. Try listen more. Just we have two ears, one mouth. So try listen more. Or really, but try it. Yeah. Books, I'm not very much into books. I'm for experience, but books can be really inspirational for someone. So any source, anything which resonates, just put it in practice and try to be consistent with this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And your favorite failure, that's something that I ask everybody, that you feel like you failed on at some point in your life, in your career, but something you look back on and cherish on as a phenomenal lesson.
Well, crisis situation, like your decision seems to be not good as a leader, and you end up with negative market share or negative, I don't know, EBIT, negative turnover or loss of the game. And it's a like one-time failure, but then if you approach it well, it's such a winning game because it can put you so together with the team. Then it's just one particle in universe, but then you don't do the same, or let's say it bounds you together as a team. Mm-hmm. If you approach it well through the right feedback, through the right leadership style. So this is a great failure because we learn through the failures. When you drink the drink, where you drink some cocktail on a beach, what do you learn? Yes, you enjoy, that's perfect, but you don't learn so much. Yeah, so let's learn through the difficulties. Really, it's key. That's why we are here, to learn.
All right. And I think we came up with our own Esperanto. I just wrote down during the podcast, we developed our own little language that many people that are listening to this podcast may develop also. And then we can find our common pea soup, let's call it.
Pea soup, yeah, of course, pea soup.
Martin, thank you very much for being here. I hope that people who are listening that are appreciative of this next layer of communication and the topics that we went through. I think there's a lot of things to extract, like you said, and it's been a very enriching conversation. Thank you very much.
Yeah, for me as well. Really, thank you big time for the invitation and for the very good questions you ask, which provokes me thinking and to get maximum of myself. So thank you much.
It's my thank you. It's my 60th episode. I had to do something that I can be proud of.
Oh,
all right, everybody. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Elvis.
Bye.